prayer and then preparation for prayer. I think it's important to see here. He said this psalm is one of pure praise, pure call and stirring up the people of God to pray. It opens with the line, "Praise the Lord," in Hebrew, hallelujah. It closes with the call to pray, "Praise the Lord," hallelujah. And in between each of these is a number of reasons to pray, Lord, and a call for us to pray. Officially, this psalm is written, or at least is included in the Psalter, at a time when Israel is in, showing up in its best condition. In fact, the psalm we just sang earlier from Psalm 80 reflects the general situation of the people of Israel, where they are back in the land, but in the land that is not really fully there. There is a domination of foreign agents and enemies. Religion and the work of God has fallen into a great state. So literally and metaphorically, the walls have been torn down. And yet here, we have a call to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. Literally, while I have breath. The psalmist is calling on people of God to praise the Lord with everything that is in them, with every their very last breath. May they praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. While I live, I will praise the Lord. In other words, this is what the psalmist desires his whole life to be. One of lived out praise to God. What is the opposite of this prayer? Of his wholly committing yourself to the Lord. Verse 3. Put not your trust in princes. And a son of man, there is no doubt. And his breath of heart returns to you on that very day. His plan is present. The psalmist cautions his people to not put their trust in princes or nobles and mighty ones, whether those who are mighty in politics, mighty in power, or mighty in terms of finance and money. He says, for this, do not put your trust there. Do not place your hopes there. For in them there is no salvation. This is an important principle for us to remember, particularly on the eve of election. When we exercise, we are blessed in this country to exercise our civic responsibility and duty to go, and where we get to ask our votes to pick those who will be our princes, those who will be the ones responsible for making and executing just laws. And this is something we have the privilege of doing with other countries and other nations and other times. They did not have that privilege. And it places a unique kind of responsibility and burden on those of us who have that privilege. But as we do this, we exercise our responsibility and our opportunity to vote, we are called to do it in a way that is not putting our trust in princes. More and more, it seems in our country that people's identity is tied up with their political party. Whether their candidate wins or not, it seems some almost sometimes psychological well-being is tied up in that, because their sense of whether they, the person, are doing well or not depends on whether their candidate wins or not. We have placed so much our identity and hope, both on the left and the right, in politics, in hoping that it's through the political process that our salvation, that our hopes, will be realized. Whether we admit it to ourselves or not, whether we say those things with our lips, it seems that too much we have tied our hopes to that, some of them will die in the same parish as the next election. But yet, every year, we hear the line again and again, this is the most important election in history, or this is the most important election of our lifetime. And they've been saying that since John Adams ran against Thomas Jefferson. I mean, they literally been saying that since John Adams ran against Thomas Jefferson. I was reading a biography from that period, and the language of the intention, this is the election on which the future of the Republic stands. Do not put your trust in me. Yes. The God blessed is he whose help is the God who hopes in the Lord. Why? Because he made heaven and earth to see and all that is in them. And keep faith forever. He executes justice to the oppressed. He gives. Contrasting the dying plan of the princes of this earth with the eternal, certain plan of our God and Savior, because he is the one who made heaven and earth. The person who likes to trust the princes will come to despair when his prince perishes, when his party fails, or when what he hoped for is not coming back. But blessed, happy, is the one himself who saw and told us the Lord. Because he made heaven and earth, and he keeps his forever. When we have this perspective, that our help, that our hope is in the Lord and not in the princes, it frees us as we engage in the most God. We do it with the freedom knowing that we are free to vote and not to know that whoever wins, whoever comes to power, God's plans are not rewarded. Whoever comes to power, that our own identity is not shattered as one and what we hope for does not come to pass. It gives us the freedom to not be essentially wound up in the result of election, but instead focus on using the gifts that God has given us, including the gifts that we vote, in service to God. You know, all that we have is given to us. Now, by God, we use the good Lord, what is in the name, including what is in the name of your vote. How are we going to use our vote towards the end God has ordained? I saw a sign the other day.
Thank you.
where your people get their identity and their religious identity so bound up, and they see the way of ushering in the kingdom of God as they see it so bound up in exercising the politics that it's put an act of worship, not as such like we're doing here, but in some sacrament. That's not vision. They are not religious figures. They are servants of life. And we treat them as such. We are part of them as such. And we are not as some sacrament, but as a privilege that we have, and doing it in a way that honors the world of life. And we can do this because we know ultimately the ends are not in the political powers of the world that are centered in the redemptive purposes and plans of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The rest of the psalm is just a list of affirmations of what the Lord does. It's not even a prayer for the Lord to do it. That's the perfect thing to do. It's just list the things that God does. He keeps faith forever. He executes justice to his people. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourner. He upholds the widow and fatherless. For the way of the wicked he brings to the world. The Lord will reign forever.
The Lord will reign forever.
Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what God is doing. This is what God does. God is, and ultimately will, do all these things. These are things which princes cannot do. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Luke chapter 4. This is where Jesus begins his ministry in the Gospel of Luke. He returns to Nazareth. After he's been in the wilderness. And he enters the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And he's given the scroll to read. And the scroll is a passage from Isaiah chapter 61. And Jesus reads from this scroll, which basically, as you'll hear, says some of the same things that we just read in Psalm 146. He took it up and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, Jubilee." And he rolled up the scroll. And he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." It doesn't say it will be fulfilled. Today, this promise is fulfilled in your hearing. Why? Because I'm here. I am the one who, when you turn and trust in me, who gives recovering of spiritual sight to the blind, who frees from the prison of captivity to sin, who sets at liberty those who are oppressed, who brings the year of the Lord's favor. And I'm going to come and illustrate this ultimate salvation I'm bringing by all I'm going to do in my ministry, by literally healing the eyes of blind people, by literally giving freedom, by literally bringing good news. I am the answer to all this. And He is the one who has ascended into heaven and is seated on the throne, who's coming again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. That is our hope. And knowing that, we can enter and engage in politics with a real true freedom and a lack of angst and trust. And we can pray for God's kingdom to come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, knowing that He is the one who brings liberty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the one who has fulfilled these things. Lord, may we not put our trust in princes, but may we put our trust in You. And there may we be able to vote, and may we be able to pray for our nation in a way that does that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.